Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teaching Ministry today. Praise the Lord. And I just want to pray before we get into the message. Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to send forth your anointing, God, dispatch the angels of God to help in this message, Lord. God, that they would touch the hearts of your people, Lord. And God, that everything that's said and done, it would bring glory to your name. God, I pray that we would seek to preach the kingdom of God tonight. And God, that you would be glorified and your kingdom would be built up, that it would come to earth, Lord God, even as it is in heaven, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. We're coming to you tonight, amen, speaking to you about what did Jesus say we should preach on and what did he command us to preach, amen. So tonight we're talking about preaching, the preached word. And I want to give you some information about the word of God first. And I also want to ask a question. Are we preaching what Jesus told us to preach? Are we preaching what Jesus told us to preach in the Bible? Now, I want you to know that the Bible contains 66 books, as most of us know. But I don't think a lot of us know that how many chapters and verses and words there are in the Bible. So I just want to share that with you tonight. There's 1,189 chapters. So we have 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,102 verses. That was 31,102 verses. Now, in words, we have 783,137 words. That's 783,137 words. And we have 3,116,480 letters. That's 3,116,480 letters. Now, we get to the promises of God. There are 1,260 promises, praise God, and in him they are yea and amen, praise the Lord. We have 6,468 commands. That's 6,468 commands and over 8,000 predictions. There are 3,294 questions. That's 3,294 questions. And there's 40 authors in the Bible. So everything, I said all that to say this, everything in the Bible that we preach should end with the kingdom of God's message being fulfilled. Praise the Lord. Through Jesus Christ. The word preach in the Bible means to proclaim or to announce. It occurs 50 times in 47 verses. One of the most powerful verses for this word preach is used in Isaiah chapter 61 and 1. So I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. And the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim," that's preach, "proclaim liberty," hallelujah, "to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Praise the Lord. Let's talk about this a minute. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Praise the Lord. So Jesus said, this is going to be fulfilled. We're going to see how Jesus fulfilled this in a few minutes over in the book of Luke. But first of all, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord must be upon us when we preach. There are a lot of preachers that don't have this as a requirement before they get up before God's people. But I want you to know it is a requirement if you want to break yokes off of somebody's life. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is necessary because it is the Holy Spirit that anoints us to preach the good tidings to the meek. Amen. So what I see here is that the audience is more important when preaching, really, and just as important as the preacher, because the Bible says, "He have anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek." So people that are not meek in spirit, that's going to be hard for them to receive the preached word. We have always focused on the preaching in order to receive, but I see here that it is the audience that makes the difference. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and 1 that he preaches to the meek. Many times in Scripture, Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" He left it up to the receiver most of the time. So here we see in Isaiah 61 and 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because," hallelujah, "he comes to fulfill a purpose." He comes. He always comes to do a work. The Bible says, because the Lord have anointed me. Remember Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter cannot come. Amen. And he said that he will be with you. He will lead you. He will take of mine and give it unto you. So here we see the Lord saying, because the Lord have anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, but he also have sent me, praise the Lord. How can you be sent? How can you preach unless you were sent? Amen. He have sent me to bind, hallelujah. Remember the keys of the kingdom, to bind and to loose, hallelujah. The Bible says he have sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So we have a lot of people whose hearts have been broken before they came to Christ. And even in the body of Christ, sometimes we go through hurts and tribulations and pains. But we have to know that God is able to bind up those hurts. So he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen. So the Bible says that some people are kept in captivity, amen, by the enemy. So we are to proclaim liberty to the captives. And another scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, amen. So all the scriptures go hand in hand to proclaim liberty to the captives. And he didn't stop there, but he added one more thing, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Hallelujah. In the natural, we know he opened the door for Peter. I think it was Peter in the New Testament, the book of Acts, that was in the jail, and God opened up the jail doors, and he came out. But in the spiritual realm, God can do the same thing, hallelujah, to those that are imprisoned and in prison and held and in bondage. That means drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, whatever you're in bondage to, sexual sins, perversion, amen, God can open the door and set the captive free. Hallelujah. I really believe that, and it's time that we started opening up some doors and setting some people free and proclaiming liberty to the captives and binding up the brokenhearted by the Spirit of the Lord because of his anointing. Amen. And verse 2 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. That means we don't just preach good things, but we have to preach about God's vengeance. Amen. For the Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, to comfort all that mourn, amen, in Zion, to comfort all that mourn. So even those that the Bible says give us a spirit of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we are to comfort all that mourn, verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. So let's go on, amen. He left it up to you, amen, as a receiver, what you want from him. There is nothing too hard for God. In Matthew 4:17, if you turn over there, the Bible talks about another word for preach. We talk about preaching again. The Bible says in verse 16, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times the Bible talks about the kingdom of darkness and how people are, and before they came to Jesus, before we came to Jesus, we were in darkness. Amen. But the Bible says the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region in shadow of death, light is sprung up. Remember the Bible talks about if you cannot set a candle, God doesn't light a candle and put it under a bed or under a table, but he puts it on top of the table that all that come into the room can see the light. So, amen, the Bible says in Matthew 4:17, this is one of our key verses, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So one of the messages that God has told me to give to you tonight is the gospel of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The closer we get to the end times, the closer we get to Jesus' return, the more we're going to have to preach repentance. Amen, because that's how your name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life, through the doctrine of repentance. We have to keep a repentant heart. That's what the Bible means when it says be ready. Amen. Be ready. Don't let your light burn out. Don't be caught with your work undone. Amen. But he says coming back for a church that is looking for him. So Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He didn't preach so much about earthly rewards. He mostly preached about heavenly rewards as much as he did earthly rewards or more. He preached about heavenly rewards more than he did earthly rewards. Scripture after scripture proves what Jesus preached and what the word preach really means. We have a lot of motivational speaking and, you know, prosperity teaching, and I'm not against being blessed. You know, my pastor's doing a message series on giving, and I'm not against being blessed, amen. I want the people of God to be blessed. I want us to prosper, amen. But I don't believe in prospering on the backs of the poor, amen, and not taking them with you on your journey. You know, that's one thing about my church. We all in it together, amen. We all going to be blessed. We all keep each other lifted up. We all are going in the same direction, amen. But there's a lot of people that have misused the prosperity gospel and only to benefit the pastor. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the prosperity teaching. I'm talking about the ones that are living off of the poor people, checks and salaries. They are not being blessed. You're not teaching them how to be blessed, but you are taking from the poor, amen, and fleecing the sheep. That is what God is not pleased with, amen. So prosperity teaching that's going in a church, or motivational speaking, all of that is good. Some of the motivational speaking is necessary. Amen. We have to motivate each other. We have to teach us how to do certain things in this life. But I think that sometimes we get too much of that in the pulpit. The pulpit is supposed to be sacred. Amen. The pulpit is sacred and for the use of God. Amen. Sanctified. That means separated for the use of God. Amen. So a lot of this motivational teaching, I think it should be done outside of the pulpit. Amen. In maybe a little office room or something. But it should be taught outside of the pulpit because it takes away from the sacredity of new word, I guess I just made up, the sacredness of the pulpit. And a lot of preachers do not sanctify the pulpit anymore. And that's why we don't see the presence of God in church like we should. Now, I want you to, the next verse I want to talk to you about, God will tell you where to go, who to preach to, and what to preach when you are on a mission, as seen in this scripture. The next scripture is Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. So if you go over there with me, the Bible says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, you notice the word all. That's the key word here, because a lot of times people say, well, God doesn't move like that anymore. God gave them power. Jesus gave the 12 disciples power against unclean spirits to cast them out. They let you know a lot of sickness and disease is coming from unclean spirits or from the devil, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Amen. Now let's skip on down to verse 5 in that same chapter. And the Bible says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Because remember, it wasn't time for the Gentiles to come in yet. That wasn't until after his resurrection. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, he said, and as you go preaching, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here again, Jesus is saying, emphasizing, the kingdom of heaven is what we should be preaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, that's talking about money, nor a scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, neither yet staffs, for the workman is worthy of his hire. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide until you go from there. So even told them where to stay. And when you come into a house, salute it. Amen. That means let your peace come upon it in the next verse. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. That's why there's so many households right now that doesn't have peace. Amen, because they don't recognize the Lord, the sanctity of the Lord and the word of God. They don't recognize the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust off of your feet. For verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now let's go back, amen. I want to talk about this for a minute. He said, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor a scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staff. For the workman is worthy of his hire, his meat. Who preaches like this anymore? It's not just for those in that day, as a lot of people are going to say, but even today we should trust God to supply our needs when we go on the field. Going out without any money or worry about how we should eat or where we should sleep, if he requires this of us, we are not to limit him. Amen. Now, I know if he doesn't require it, of course you should be prepared. But tells you to go and you don't see how the way is going to be made, you have to go and you have to trust God to provide. Amen. He said, as you go out preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's near. That means it's coming soon. Or near. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven. That includes, when you preach about the kingdom of heaven, that includes healing the sick. That includes cleansing lepers. That includes healing incurable diseases. Because leprosy was an incurable disease. Amen. That includes raising the dead, and that includes casting out devils. Now here I want to talk about the progression of power. God told me there's a progression of power that's seen here in this verse. The first level, the easiest level for us to pray on, is healing the sick. That's the easiest thing for a Christian to do, is to pray the prayer for someone to receive healing that is sick. Remember, the Bible says he went into one village and he could do no mighty works except heal a few sick. That is the basic level of healing. So the first area you should move out into when you want God to use you is to heal the sick. Before you can cleanse lepers or cure an incurable disease, which we're going to get to, you have to know how to pray for the sick, and they shall recover. The second level is healing incurable diseases. This is a stronger demon, a higher level demon, so you have to have a higher level of power and an anointing in your life. Before you can heal incurable diseases, such things such as cancer, things such as AIDS, things such as lupus, Ebola, polio, diabetes, asthma, and many more incurable diseases, you should be able to pray for the sick. Then you move up after you get past the level of healing the sick and past the level of healing incurable diseases. The next one is raising the dead. You can't just jump from nothing, not being able to pray for the sick, all of a sudden you're going to raise the dead. I mean, some people are gifted in that area, but that's not the normal progression of the way it works. Line by line, precept upon precept, the Lord said, well, he teaches people his way. So after you learn how to heal incurable diseases and by faith, get to the level of faith, not learn, but get to the level of faith where you can heal incurable diseases, then you can move on up. The next step is raising the dead. Amen. And lastly, after you have gained and exercised power in the area of all three that we've already talked about, which is praying for the sick, healing diseases, and raising the dead, then you can tackle casting out demons. Amen. So I want you to ask yourself, which level are you on? Amen. There are different ways to gain power. Number one, in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, praying in the spirit, praying in the spirit, building up your inward man. He said, but you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So praying in the spirit, amen, in tongues, in the Holy Ghost, and in English, because you have to do both. You have to pray with an understanding. Paul said, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with an understanding. And that's one thing God has taught me recently. Don't just spend so much time just praying in tongues, because then your understanding is unfruitful, not only in the church, but in your own personal life. I go back and forth now, and I've seen a growth in my life since I've been praying in tongues and praying in the spirit and praying in English. I've seen a growth in my life. But the Bible says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So this is one way to gain power from God. The next thing you can do in Ephesians 3 and 20, now that was Jude 1 and 20, but in Ephesians 3 and 20, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. So it's according to the power that works in you. God's power is unlimited. He can do anything, but he can do it only through you according to the power that works in you. Amen. God is not limited, and he's only limited by us and our faith or lack thereof. Amen. So let's go back over to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. That is why I cannot give with the money lines for healing and prayer lines for people that gave in the offering, because a lot of churches combine the two into one. If you don't come up and you don't get into a money line with $25 or $50 or $100, you don't get prayer. I can't get with that because that's not the Lord. Amen. Let's go over to Matthew 10 and 27. Go down back over to chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus said, and we're still talking about preaching here. He said, what I tell you in darkness, remember the Bible said, go in your prayer closet, remember? What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. So Jesus again will tell you what to preach. He said, fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, that was Matthew 10 and 27 through 28. Jesus said, another commandment about preaching, only speak what he tells us to preach. Then immediately in the next verse, he tells us not to fear those who can kill the body, but cannot touch the soul. This leads me to think that if we preach what Jesus tells us, we may come under persecution for it and intimidation. He said, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. So sometimes when God tells you to preach something, people are not going to want to receive it. Sometimes they said when Jesus was preaching to these Jews, and he said about the Elias being sent to the widow, and about, you know, there were many widows in Jerusalem, but God chose somebody that was outside of Jerusalem to send Elias to. Those people got mad about that. Those Jews wanted to kill him, but the Bible says they wanted to cast him off the cliff, but Jesus went through the midst of them, amen, and like disappeared on them because it wasn't his time. People are not going to appreciate the truth because they don't want to change. We talked about that last week. Light came into darkness, and darkness comprehended it not, because its deeds were evil. Amen. Sometimes you're going to come under persecution for preaching the truth. But the Bible says, don't fear what man can do unto you. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Now, this is coming back to Isaiah 61, what we talked about a few minutes ago. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now here we see Jesus is saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me again, because he have anointed me. You can't preach without the anointing. You should not want to preach without the anointing. That is one stipulation that I have on my life. I told God, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, if I don't feel the anointing, I need to sit down. I will sit myself down if I don't sense the anointing of God on what I'm saying. If I'm not feeding the people and blessing the people, and if there's flesh alive, I need to sit my butt down somewhere. And I make myself sit down. I have to have the anointing, or I feel like a failure when I get through preaching. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and now this is a newer way of saying the same thing over in Isaiah, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And verse 20 says, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So Jesus was talking about himself. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. So he was getting ready to go into a breakthrough ministry, a breakout ministry, where people were going to be delivered and healed and set free. Amen. So let's go on down to verse 43 in the same chapter, Matthew 10, as we begin to close in a few minutes. Verse 43. Let's start in verse 42. When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people saw him and came to him and stayed him that he should not depart from there. Verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for there am I sent. And he preached in the synagogue of Galilee. So here, Jesus is again saying, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. So he told them he had to go. They wanted him to stay, but he told them he had to go because he had to preach the kingdom of God. See, Jesus just kept saying, I have to preach the kingdom of God. Amen. Here he emphasizes what to preach, the kingdom of God, because he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities. I don't see Jesus preaching anything other than the kingdom of God, which is concerning the kingdom of heaven, not earth. Now, we're going to talk later on about the Acts and what the apostles preached, but right here we just see Jesus preaching, and I don't see him preaching anything but the kingdom of God, God's will, which means God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, as in the Lord's Prayer. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9, verse 60, and the Bible says, well, let's read verse 59. One man said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord. No, Jesus told a man, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Here again, this man had lost his father. Jesus told him, let the dead bury the dead. Now, a lot of people say that's cold-hearted. You know, how you going to tell this man that? He's grieving. He's suffering. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Amen. So these are people that's making excuses, amen. When God said, tell them to go, they say, I got to go do this first. I got to go do that first. I'm not ready. Everything got to line up. Jesus said, no, you go and preach the kingdom of God. Another one said, let me go first and bid them farewell in verse 61, which are at home in my house. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. So that was Matthew 9 and 60 and through 62. Let's go back to Matthew 10, verse 13, where the Bible said, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that city or house, shake the dust off of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city that did not receive your words and what you had to say. Amen. How important is it to preach what the Lord tells us to preach? In Jonah chapter 3, verse 2, the Lord told Jonah the second time, because the first time we know he didn't go, but the second time after he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, the Bible said in chapter 3, the Lord told Jonah the second time, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So here again we see the Lord telling Jonah, preach what I tell you to preach. It's very important that we preach what the Lord said. Amen. He said in Jonah 1 and 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. As we know, Jonah ran from this preaching commandment, and after being swallowed by the whale, here again in chapter 3, the Lord tells him again, not what to preach exactly, but to preach what I tell you to preach. Amen. So that ends my scriptures for tonight, praise the Lord. But I just want to say God bless you. I love you. We are ending, amen. Almost went to the whole 30 minutes. God is so good. I have been finishing all of my scriptures. I feel so good. But I just want to say amen. Let's end with this scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. So, saints, be encouraged. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I will see you on my next program. You have to look for me on Facebook under Brenda Stanford Amos, or look for me on Blog Talk Radio under Manna Teaching. Amen. And pray for me. Pray for the ministry. God is doing great things. Doors are opening up. And people are being blessed, and God is just moving by his Spirit. I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. Good night.